You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you. So today's show is a crossover episode with Locked On Red Sox. I was joined by host Gabrielle Starr, and we talked about a wide range of topics as it relates to these two teams, where they've been the last couple of years, how we feel about these teams now, our shared hatred of the New York Yankees. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation to get you ready for this two-game set the Mets will be playing against the Boston Red Sox, which will start tonight at Citi Field. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizeOnline.com. Here's my conversation with Gabrielle Starr, host of Locked On Red Sox.
All right. Well, this is like a treat, though. I don't know if you know this. The Mets are my National League team.
Okay.
Most of my family is from like Jersey and New York, and I was born in New York. So, it's the dirty little secret. I mean, I moved when I was one.
It's just not like, I do these interviews. Like today, someone had me on. They're asking me like how the New York boroughs are mixed up, and I'm like with Mets and Yankees fans, I'm like, I actually live in South Florida, so I have no idea.
It's like Javi hosting Locked On Padres, and he's a Yankees fan from Jersey.
I didn't know that. I knew he was in Jersey. I didn't know he was a Yankees fan.
Anyway, this is a treat. We have Red Sox and Mets for a two-game series starting Tuesday. The Red Sox are going to have to face Jacob deGrom. Am I right?
Yeah, he pitches on Wednesday.
I think they were really, really hoping that with the off day today, we're recording Monday night. I think the Red Sox lineup was really hoping that they would not have to face him, that they would give him an extra day off.
Yeah, well, the last time around, I think DeGrom got an extra day, and we saw how that worked out with him pitching that start on Friday night. But the Mets right now are kind of operating with a four-man rotation, so they're not skipping too many days for DeGrom. He's kind of pitching every fifth day, and I'm looking forward to watching him go against the Red Sox again.
So you guys are first in the NL East, and we're first in the AL East, and yep. You have DeGrom, obviously. DeGrom being DeGoat, as they say, as the children say. I've seen a bunch of your games, but overall, how has your season been going so far?
It's been the weirdest start to a year outside of, you know, like last season, which was just everything's weird about it. But for a normal 162 game season, it's been so random. The first, we were all hyped up about opening day. Lindor signs right before that. And then the Nationals have a COVID outbreak, and we all just had to wait for 3 days for the season to start. And then they've been rained out. They were snowed out. Like, it's just been a really weird year with the schedule. So it's been hard for the team to get into like any real rhythm. But because the NL East is so bunched up right now, they're in first place technically. And the pitching has been great. It's been the offense that has been struggling a lot.
So I just have to put this out there for our listeners right now, as it stands, your Mets are in first place, but the Phillies, who are in second place, actually have one more win than the Mets. Yeah. So you're 9-8 and the Phillies are 10-11 and your division's like really tight. I mean, the Braves and Marlins, they're 9-12 each. And then the Nationals are 8-11. So I think this is like not this. I don't know about last year, because last year just feels like a giant, awful blur, but I feel like the last couple years, generally your division's been somewhat tight.
It's one of those divisions where every year coming in, everyone says the NL East is so stacked. All these teams are great. And then most of them are 500. So we were doing this. We have a little NL East group chat with our, and we're like, what is going on this year? These teams just don't look as good as everyone was kind of hyped up to be. But with the Mets, I think eventually they have the potential to really pull away. Right now, they're just kind of like winning percentage first place because of not playing as many games. But eventually, hopefully, they'll kind of separate themselves. The Braves have been surprising to me, honestly. Like, I don't know what's going on there. It's kind of like the Yankees in the AL East.
Hey, I'm not complaining about that because we are
not either.
Right? You can't. I mean, I remember my friend Shannon, who goes by Miss Met on Twitter. She had a great tweet a couple years ago. I think it might have actually been 2018 during the September Red Sox Mets series. Red Sox and Mets fans at Fenway Park chanting Yankees suck together. And I was like, yes, nothing unites like hating on the Yankees. I mean, it's perfect. And so the Yankees are 9-12 and the Red Sox are 14-9. And I'm really hoping I'm not jinxing anything here, but it feels pretty good. It feels really good because the Yankees are just every year MLB is like, this is the Yankees year. And the Yankees are like, no. And it's, I love it. I love it. I love it for us. I love it for them. I love it for their fans who write 27 rings in their bio, not realizing it's actually 26 rings and a pocket watch. I love it.
Yeah. I do have to mention when you brought up Yankees suck, I have a Yankees suck shirt and it's like my default. If the Mets aren't playing and I'm at a game anywhere, even if it's not even baseball, I just wear the Yankees suck shirt. And that shirt is universal. I've had people in Kansas City, in Houston, everywhere, everyone is united that the Yankees suck.
It's funny that you say that because there was I think it was a Sports Illustrated writer after The Last Dance came out. And everyone was talking about like, okay, so what's the next docuseries going to be? Because we all had nothing else going on in April and May of 2020. So we were all just craving another thing that we could all watch and live tweet. And somebody wrote an article about how the next docuseries of that style should be about the Yankees core four. And I was like, you don't seem to understand that Michael Jordan was almost universally not beloved, but like admired, obsessed over, anointed the king of basketball in his era. And the Yankees, for the most part, are universally disliked. So I'm not really sure if the appeal is there. Like most people will not watch that. Yeah, I thought it was like the funniest thing.
Well, Jordan too. Like Jordan has like widespread appeal. Like no one, if Jorge Posada goes to China, no one's going to know who he is. Like, I'm sorry. It's just, I don't think anyone's going to care either to watch a documentary about Jorge Posada. Like if anything, it would just be a Derek Jeter documentary. And then the core four would be mentioned, but.
This episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings that have been designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. They're the perfect way to bring light into her life, and they're available now through Mother's Day only at BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. This collection features high-quality fine jewelry that will surprise and delight, and it is fairly priced, so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. If you're on the hunt for the perfect unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money. So why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, maybe even 100% more for the exact same amount of parts at a chain store or new car dealership? RockAuto.com is a family business that's been serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. They have everything you can want from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and then choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, and make sure you write "Locked On" in there, "How'd you hear about us" box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. This year, the Locked On Podcast Network is partnering with the Draft Network to cover the NFL Draft live. Get insight and analysis from Locked On local experts and the Draft Network's national experts by subscribing to the Locked On NFL YouTube page to watch a live 3-day coverage of the NFL Draft from April 29th through May 1st.
You know, the reason that I thought of the Yankees, aside from the fact that they're in last place in the division, and I'm going to say that as many times as I possibly can while it's still true, is because Yankees fans have this habit of booing their own players. And I heard that Mets fans have booed Francisco Lindor. Is this true? Is this a thing?
Yeah, I mean,
the same Francisco Lindor that everyone was obsessing over on Twitter and begging Steve Cohen to extend for the entire rest of humanity.
Yeah, is getting booed. Get emotional. I mean, Michael Conforto has been getting a lot of boos this year, and Conforto has been a homegrown player that was part of a World Series team that's done a lot and is having a rough start to the season playing in sub-freezing temperature. You'd think you'd give him a little bit of time, but Mets fans can get a little emotional at times, as any fan base, but maybe a little bit more so. And so, yeah, you boo Lindor, even though he's the guy that everyone was clamoring for months and months throughout the offseason. But
I mean, I feel like Lindor, I'm really not that concerned. I think you guys had a weird start to the season, like you said. And, you know, honestly, I heard some Red Sox fans, and I put quotation marks there, I heard some Red Sox fans booing Fenway Park earlier in the season. Like, I think over the first weekend when they were getting swept 0-3 by the Orioles on their opening series. And I have to say, like, that's never going to be me, but I'm sure you can relate to this, having finally gotten out of the hold of the Wilpons and, you know, being the Mets, the Red Sox in 2020 after losing Mookie and the Cora situation and everything. I don't personally agree with booing, but I understand why people would want to boo, because there are very few ways that they can get their frustrations out, you know, but if you're booing at the ballpark, the chances are that the GM is going to hear, or, you know, even the owners in their box. And yeah, it might not do anything maybe, but in a weird twisted way, it does technically make more sense than like losing your mind on Twitter, because you're actually in the vicinity. Like, you're technically literally in shouting distance of the people who actually made the decision that you're unhappy with. But at the same time, like, I just, it's not my thing.
No, not mine either. I think the last thing that I've ever done like that, in 2015, I was at a Mets Marlins game the day that Scott Boras came out and said they were going to shut down Matt Harvey. And I'm not proud to admit that I called Matt Harvey's name. He turned and looked at me and I flipped him off.
Oh no. Yeah. Ryan,
I know.
How close were you?
It was like in batting practice, so I was like, okay. He definitely saw me, but I was 19. I was emotional. I'm sorry. And you know, then Harvey pitched anyway and probably ruined his career because of it. So I've felt bad ever since, and I will never boo a player like that. I will just maybe rip a player on a podcast using actual stats and facts.
Yeah, which for people who actually understand your stats is a lot more effective, because you're actually making a cogent argument. I will say though, I think it was 2019. I was having a really bad night and I said, I wish the entire Red Sox bullpen would get eaten by bears, which like, obviously I didn't mean in like a literal sense. And for like a year now, people have dragged me for it as if like, that's the worst thing that's ever been said on Twitter. And like, as if I actually meant it. But I do have to say, taking my dad to Red Sox games pre-COVID, our seats are pretty close to the Red Sox dugout and thereby pretty close to the field. And there was a game in 2018 and a Red Sox pitcher who's no longer on the team, or who I'd written about, and so they followed me on social, was having a terrible outing. And my dad was screaming. My dad, who's like a 60-plus-year-old rabbi who probably couldn't strike out Pablo Sandoval, no offense, dad, starts screaming, throw strikes, like really loudly. And after the game, I like asked the guy, I was like, hey, did you happen to hear in the eighth inning someone shouting like at you? And he's like, yeah, someone screamed throw strikes like 10 times. I was like, yeah, sorry, that was my dad. I felt really bad.
Well, at least he was like trying to help him out. I mean, it's constructive criticism.
I know, right?
He was just saying, hey, just throw some strikes.
let's talk about this series, because I don't know if they're putting these on your broadcast, but every single day on NESN this week for the Red Sox broadcasts, there have been like 50 commercials about Lindor and Bogarts and like the shortstops, like the best shortstops in the East facing off against each other. How has Francisco Lindor been doing?
He's not doing the best offensively. He has one home run so far, I think only one double. So he's not hitting for a lot of power, but he is such a leader. I don't think the Mets have had a player like that in some time. Obviously, you'll probably remember, you know, with Betts, that type of presence where even when they aren't going right, you just kind of feel like they're helping the team just by being out there. So that's what I've seen from Lindor. And then he's just an unbelievable defensive shortstop. So that's just been fun to watch. I don't think I've seen that since Rey Ordóñez, and I was like seven. So in a Mets uniform to see a guy turn any double play, make any play in the hole, that's just been awesome to watch.
I think it's going to be a really cool matchup too. Obviously, Xander Bogaerts has been having an incredible start to the season. He's like top 10 in batting average. He homered three times in his last four games, I think it is now, including back-to-back games. And I think it's going to be a cool matchup. I mean, we've got two first place teams. I don't think either of us saw that coming this early in the season. I thought maybe your team, honestly. But I honestly did not think it would be my team.
Well, that's what I want to ask you, because when I look at the Red Sox,
I have no answers, Ryan. I have no answers.
You can't explain it. I'm just wondering where they're getting the pitching from. I mean, I haven't been paying attention to the scores, but I just, outside of Chris Sale, I don't know like any other pitcher I would say the Red Sox have that I would necessarily want. So to see them in first place, I'm like, how are they doing this?
The pitching has been a huge surprise, though. I will say the pitching was doing really well for like that whole 9-game win streak and a little bit extending after that. The pitching, our starting rotation, every pitcher for like a 10 or so game span went at least 5 innings. There were very few walks, and it was just generally like kind of mind blowing, if we're being honest, because no one expected this. But there have been games where it's been like just a dazzling pitching performance. And I don't really have any words for that because I have no idea how they're doing it. But then after the 9-game win streak was over, they've kind of struggled in their last like 6+ games. Their pitching has been faltering, and that truly is their deciding factor, because for almost every one of their last 10 games, I think the starter has given up at least one run in the first inning, and they're not lasting as long into the games. Even Eduardo Rodriguez, who pitched like an absolute gem yesterday, he still gave up 3 runs. They're kind of floundering. I think I'm not really sure what the problem is, but I don't know. I mean, anyone who thought that 9-game win streak was going to be like their whole season, I mean, they were not going to go 159 and 3.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Whether it's the NBA, the NHL, or Major League Baseball, BetOnline has you covered. They even have awards, TV shows, and reality TV with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you could imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
I'm very interested to see how this series goes, just because our teams don't really get to play each other very often. And it's DeGrom. Can we please talk about DeGrom and run support and his 15 strikeout game? Because I honestly thought he already had a 15 strikeout game in his career.
He's had like 3 or 4 14 strikeout games. So this was, I think this was his third this year of 14 or more. Don't quote me on that. I'm not positive, but yeah, that start was just insane. To strike out 15, not walk anyone, only gave up two hits. I think he retired the last 19 batters he faced. And yes, the run support thing, my pinned tweet is something along the lines of, just 300 no decisions get you into the Hall of Fame, asking for a friend, with a gif of Jacob deGrom, because that's just been his career. And the fact that the Mets are batting him eighth now, and he comes up in that spot in the, I think it was the sixth inning, first and second, no score. He's not bunting, and he hits a double to put the first run on the board. I think this year he has two RBIs, two runs scored, and one earned run allowed. So that kind of tells you Jacob deGrom in a nutshell right there.
So I think it's actually really interesting. We talked about this a little bit before we actually hit record. In that way, Chris Sale and Jacob deGrom have a lot in common, because Chris Sale is basically our version of Jacob deGrom, both in terms of when he's healthy, he's our ace. He gets no run support and he has really high strikeout totals. I mean, the reason I was so surprised that deGrom hadn't had 15 yet was because Chris Sale, 2 years ago, he got 17 strikeouts on May 14th against the Rockies. And he also did not walk a single batter. And that was the most strikeouts since, I don't remember if it was Kluber or Scherzer, whoever had a 20 strikeout game in 2016. So Sale was the most strikeouts since then. And it was really cool because I think it had been Pedro also who'd had a 17 strikeout game where he also didn't walk a single batter, but don't quote me on that, because that might not be exactly right. But they lost that game because Chris Sale also never gets any run support. In 2019, Eduardo Rodriguez led starters in most run support, like run support average per game. He had the most of any pitcher in all of Major League Baseball. And Chris Sale was like somewhere at the bottom of the barrel. So I feel you. It's wild to me. Like, you can bring out the worst pitcher, and maybe it's some weird mental thing with the batters that they think because the pitcher's really good that they don't have to score runs. DeGrom's keeping your opponent off the board. I mean, I guess in the National League, technically he can put you guys on the board, but like in the American League, all your pitcher is trying to do is hold down the fort, but the only one who can build anything is you. And it just, whenever I see DeGrom like lose another game or get a no decision, I'm like, dude, I feel you. Like, he and Chris Sale should have some kind of support group at this point.
It might. I have a couple of theories on it. For one, anytime that happens, I just get hit with all the stats, you know, DeGrom's record and the team's record and how ridiculous it is, which is really frustrating. I do think that there might be something to, when you have a strikeout pitcher like DeGrom or Sale, I think it kind of turns your teammates into, you know, they're kind of just watching the game. I mean, they go out to their position, they watch DeGrom strike out the side, they go back in, and maybe you aren't as engaged. Whereas with Marcus Stroman, I've been saying he's going to lead the team in wins because he just goes out, throws his sinker, gets a bunch of ground balls. Everyone's involved throughout the game. And maybe that just, I don't know, brings more energy to the team. And so maybe that carries over offensively. So that's kind of the way I've tried to rationalize it. But otherwise, it's just horrible luck for DeGrom, because he should be winning 25 games a year if his team was even putting up three runs for him every start, because that's how good he's been.
But I was going to ask you about Marcus Stroman, because I know he opted out last year from the season. And so Mets fans were really bummed, because he's a great pitcher and I think he's an amazing representative for the game. What has it been like actually having him on the team this year and on the mound?
You see how much he was missed last year because his personality is infectious. I think he really is one of those guys that uplifts everyone around him, and he's definitely one of the more popular players on the team. And I mean, Saturday, the Mets won each of his first three starts. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I think, you know, they really do play well when he's on the mound. He's just a fun guy to watch.
Yeah, I think he makes a huge difference for your team. I mean, I actually like most of your team. I mean, I like the Mets anyway, but I think you guys actually, you had some amazing, clearly off-season upgrades. And I'm curious, first, how do you think our series is going to shake out? And how do you, I know it's April 26th, but after this first, like, for you guys, 20 games, how do you have your predictions changed for your season? And what are your predictions now? Like, where are you guys on October 1st?
Well, I would say to answer that question first, I think that coming into this year, there was so much hype, but I just couldn't quite buy into it. And now, even though the Mets haven't played well, the fact that they've kind of been playing maybe a C version of what they can do and they're still in first place, my expectations have kind of been raised. I think that they're going to be even better than I thought. I really think after kind of watching things play out, I think they're the best team in this division on paper. The bullpen's been way better than I thought. The rotation is going to get better when Carrasco and Syndergaard come back. So, yeah, I think that this is a team that can compete with the Dodgers and the Padres down the stretch. We'll see. And then as far as this series, I feel like it's one of those series where I don't think that the Mets are going to sweep it. I think that one of these games, the Red Sox are going to go off, and probably not the one with DeGrom on the mound.
Well, it's honestly funny that you say that, because the first game of the series, arguably, and by arguably, I mean, it's not even a question, the Red Sox are putting their worst pitcher on the mound in Garrett Richards. His ERA is over 6.
That's a good thing for you. That's a good thing. Because the Mets, if they're facing a really good pitcher.
Oh, like, so you're only going to knock Eduardo Rodriguez, who pitched yesterday, so he's not pitching against you, but you're not going to knock Garrett Richards.
What I'm saying is that if Joe Ross blanked us for like 7 innings the other day, and Joe Ross had like a 6.55 ERA. So you're saying
Garrett Richards is going to throw a perfect game tomorrow, basically.
I'm not saying that, but when I do these, like the previews of series, I go, oh, that guy's got a 10.55 ERA. Watch out for him to throw a gem against the Mets, because that's just how these things work.
So, by the way, Matt Harvey and the Orioles just beat the Yankees. How funny is that?
I did see that Harvey was pitching a gem against the Yankees. I enjoyed that.
He pitched pretty well against the Red Sox. I don't know if it was the first weekend or if it was the other time that we faced them in Baltimore. I'm not saying like he's anywhere close to being like comeback player of the year or anything, but he did look good when the Red Sox had to face him, to the point where I was like, I didn't know this guy actually still had an arm. So does he still have an arm, or is my team just really lame? But he looked, you know, he looked pretty solid. Yeah. I think, you know, I'm worried because I think you guys are going to knock Garrett Richards around like everybody else does. And that's the first game of the series. And the second game of the series is DeGrom. So it's DeGrom. I mean, it's DeGrom. That's like all you have to say. And so between that, I'm like kind of worried that you guys are going to sweep us.
I sure hope so.
I hope not. We're trying to hold on to first place just like for a little longer, just till like my birthday or something, maybe. Sully said something perfect that I have been repeating ever since to people. He said, your team doesn't owe you a championship. Your team owes you a summer. It owes you the chance to go to a ballpark and not know from the outset that your team's going to lose every game. You go to the ballpark excited to see what's going to happen because you don't assume your team's going to suck. Your team owes you the possibility of wins and happiness and adventure and like miracles and amazing moments. And if you know your team is terrible, there's none of that. And it sucks because it also drives away the potential for like, you know, new fans, like all the young kids who did grow up in those few years of, you know, terrible Red Sox teams like 2012 and 2011. It is bad for my health, like literally bad for my health. When my team goes from 108 wins to literally embarrassing themselves for 2 solid years and losing their entire pitching rotation. Like, I don't know as I age how I can physically, like I probably have the blood pressure of an 80-year-old man who's eaten cheeseburgers every day of his life, because this team is trying to kill me. And that's why Chaim Bloom is here. And as much as I disagree with a lot of the decisions he's made, if he can get it to a point where my team is moderately good and enjoyable to watch on an almost yearly basis, I'm not even talking about championships. Like, I've seen 4. I'm fine. I don't need another one. I just mean, like, I like to go to the ballpark and not be like, well, I'm here to watch my team lose again. And in 2019, that's literally what I did every single day.
I would say that's why I've been jealous. I wasn't jealous of the Dodgers for winning the World Series. I've been jealous of Dodgers fans because they've been awesome for like 10 years. winning first place every single year. So you know that they're going to go out and win 95 games at least.
Right.
And you're going to enjoy your summer, as I would say.
I mean, I used to go to Dodgers games like a lot when I lived in LA. I saw Ryu when he was still with the Dodgers. He pitched a complete game shutout on like 95 pitches. He had like a Maddux game, and Justin Turner hit 3 home runs. And I was like, this is awesome. And it's also really fun when it's not your favorite team. I don't know if you ever go to games that are not the Mets, but I find it really refreshing because I'm really not invested. So I can actually just like enjoy the baseball. Cause with the Red Sox, I'm like, so like, I was like physically ill towards the end of that 9-game win streak, especially on the doubleheader day when they ended up pulling off like a win in both games, because I was so invested. Like I was dying on every single pitch. Like I could barely breathe. I was like, I can't look. Like I was freaking out. But when I would go to Dodgers games, like I had a great time because I don't care if they lose. I don't care if they win. Like, I really don't care at all. I'm just here to watch some good baseball, and they are good baseball. I mean, like they're fun. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm ready for the Padres to unseat them because I think it's enough, but you know, like it's very refreshing to watch baseball that's not your baseball, you know?
Yeah. You don't have to live and die with each pitch, and you can
exactly,
just kinda...
especially if it's Sale and DeGrom and they don't get any run support.
Exactly. That's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. And if you want to get more of the sports news you need in less time, check out our new Locked On Today podcast. Hosted by Peter Bukowski, Locked On Today is a daily show breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes by subscribing to Locked On Today, wherever you get your podcasts.